Today is the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. The bans of marriage are announced for the third time for Caitlin Costello and Mike Perino. Anyone knowing of a reason why this couple should not be joined in holy matrimony, please contact one of the priests. Monday night devotions, during which the rosary and prayers for our country are recited, began last Monday, September 5th, and it will continue on throughout the school year. The rosary will be recited next Saturday, September 17th at 9:30 a.m. at the Planned Parenthood on School Street in Glen Cove. That's 9:30 this Saturday, September 17th. If you'd like to register your child for the Sunday catechism classes, please sign up at the gift shop downstairs. And classes will begin next Sunday, September 18th, at approximately 10:15 a.m. between the second and third masses. The volleyball tournament for St. Pius Fifth School that benefits the St. Pius Fifth School Building Fund will take place September 25th, Sunday, at 2 p.m. And there will be an entry fee of $10 per player, and once again, the refreshments will be available for purchase, and this will benefit the junior-senior class council. Also, there will be scheduled this Thursday the 11 p.m. Holy Hour at the school with confessions, and it doesn't say it in the bulletin, but this Friday is the normal confession. There will be Mass at school at 11:15, and there will be the normal confessions here at the chapel at 6:30 p.m. I also ask that you please pray for the repose of the soul of Mr. Dan May. Mr. May was our chapel coordinator in St. Louis, Missouri for many, many years. He was only in his 50s, he had a blood clot, and he collapsed on the while he was working on a job. And he was a good Catholic husband and father of nine, whose youngest is only 13 years old. It was very sudden and unexpected, so please keep the family in your prayers, and please join me now in praying for the repose of his soul.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord. May he rest in peace. May his soul and all the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
The epistle for the 17th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 4. Brethren, I, a prisoner in the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation in which you are called, with all humility and mildness, with patience, supporting one another in charity, careful to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in us all, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. And the Holy Gospel, taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 22. At that time the Pharisees came to Jesus, and one of them, a doctor of the law, asked him, tempting him, "Master, which is the greatest great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, and with thy whole soul, and with thy whole mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like to this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments dependeth the whole law and the prophets. And the Pharisees, being gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think you of Christ? Whose son is he? They say to him, David's. He saith to them, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word. Neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. As far as the words of the Holy Gospel. Jesus saith to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her to his own. Words taken from the Gospel of St. John, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, this Thursday we celebrate the Feast of the Seven Sorrows of Our Lady. And so this morning I would like to speak to you about the Sorrowful Mother. This past week, I read an article in the news about a husband and wife who had lost their son 15 years ago in the tragic events of 9/11. They had come to the Memorial Park in Manhattan for the very first time. And the interviewer had asked them a few questions about their son and what he was like. Then they went on to explain that they had started their own memorial foundation in honor of their son. And then the interviewer asked the mother, When was it after your son's death that you could stop crying and figure out what you were going to do in memory of him? And the mother answered this. She said, The sorrow and grief are still there. I still cry, she said. And she explained that the sorrow for her son will always be there. That it would never leave. She explained that her son would never have those things which other people usually take for granted. For instance, a home and a family. And then she said something that kind of struck me. She said, this mother said, My grief is more for what my son has lost than for what I have lost. In other words, she thought of her son more than herself. And these surely were the words of a grieving mother who loves her child with an unselfish love. A mother who thinks not of herself, but of her children, her child alone. And this brought me to think of how much love is contained in the heart of our Blessed Mother. For what sorrow and grief she must have endured on the hill of Calvary. There Our Lady, the most perfect mother, watched Jesus, her only son, die a most shameful and ignominious death upon the cross. St. Jerome says, Every torture inflicted on the body of Jesus was a wound in the heart of the mother. And thus all of the torments and agonies Jesus suffered, Mary, his mother, also suffered in her heart. Our Blessed Lady watched as the cruel executioners shamefully stripped Jesus of his garments. She looked on in anguish as they drove the nails into the hands and feet of her beloved child. And then he was raised up on the cross for all to see. And Our Lady heard the blasphemies and the mockeries from the crowd. St. John the Evangelist wrote in his Gospel very simply, "And there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother." St. Alphonsus de Liguori comments on these words of St. John. He says that in these few words, St. John believed he had said enough to describe Mary's martyrdom. But as Mary stood there watching her son writhe in agony, she knew he did this for the sins of men. She knew that he was suffering for the salvation of our souls. And so on that hill of sorrows, our divine Savior gave her over to us to be our mother. He said to her, "Woman, behold thy son." And then to St. John, "Behold thy mother." Thus, Our Lady is our mother, and her heart longs for us to save our souls. In fact, she desires the salvation of our souls more than we do because of her great love. And understanding this, my dear friends, what grief and sorrow must be inflicted on the heart of our Blessed Mother then, when she sees her children fall into mortal sin. It pierces her immaculate and sorrowful heart, because first of all, she knows that sin is an offense against her Son. She knows that mortal sin does infinite violence to the sacred heart of her divine Son. But secondly, she sees the consequences of what happens when her children die in the state of mortal sin. Our Blessed Lady told us at Fatima on July 13th, 1917, Our Lady appeared to the three children. And in that apparition, she showed them the souls suffering in the flames of hell. The children, when they saw this vision, were terrified. Lucia described that Our Lady showed them a vast sea of fire. "Plunged in this fire," she said, "we saw the demons and souls of the damned. The latter," she said, "were like transparent burning embers, all blackened or burnished bronze, having human forms. They were floating about in that conflagration, now raised in the air by the flames which issued from within themselves, together with great clouds of smoke. Now they fell back on every side like sparks and huge fires, amid shrieks and groans of pain and despair, which horrified us," she said, "and made us tremble with fright." The children then looked to Our Lady, and Our Lady said, "You have seen hell, where the souls of poor sinners go." And then she said, "To save them, our Lord wishes to establish throughout the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart." She said, "If people do what I tell you, many souls will be saved, and there will be peace in the world." The Blessed Mother then asked for the consecration of Russia to her Immaculate Heart, and for the communion of reparation on the first Saturdays of the month. My dear friends, these are the words of a true and perfect mother. She has such a great concern for her children. She does not want them to be lost in the fires of hell. And so she asks us to pray for them. My dear friends, the loss of a child is the greatest tragedy that a mother could suffer. It is most likely the worst sorrow that any human being could ever suffer. But the loss of a child, naturally speaking, pales in comparison to the loss of one immortal soul. And this is so because the loss of a soul to the flames of hell will last for all eternity. You know that they use the phrase, "never forget," to remind people of the 9/11 tragedy. And that's fine. But my dear friends, we must never forget this tragedy, which takes place every day. We must never forget the tragedy that millions of souls are falling like snowflakes, as Our Lady mentioned once to Jacinta, falling like snowflakes in the fires of hell for all eternity. We must never forget why Our Lady embraced those seven swords of sorrow. She accepted this unspeakable pain and grief for us. St. Alphonsus de Liguori says, "By the merits of Mary's sorrows, she cooperated in our birth to the life of grace. And thus we are the children of her sorrows." So we must have compassion and show our gratitude to the Mother of Sorrows. St. Alphonsus says that this great torment then which Mary endured for us, a torment that was more than 1,000 deaths, deserves both our compassion and our gratitude. Let us then show our compassion and gratitude to the sorrowful Mother. And let us do this in a very practical way. And we can do this first and foremost by avoiding sin and the near occasions of sin. My dear friends, do not add to her grief and sorrow by placing yourselves in the free and near occasions of mortal sin. Be on guard against the impurity and immodesty found on the television, in the music, and especially on the internet. Do not allow it in your homes. Parents, be most vigilant with your children. This is something that cannot be stressed enough. Too many souls today in our modern world are being corrupted at too young of an age, and it is due to the lack of vigilance in the parents. Stay close to the sacraments and remove all that would offend her son. For as Our Lady said at Fatima, "Stop offending my son, for he is already too much offended." Honor our Blessed Mother by praying the Rosary every day and especially together with the family. Meditate on each mystery in a spirit of love and compassion for Our Lady. And finally, in order to show your gratitude to the sorrowful Mother for all she has done for us, make the 5 first Saturdays of the months. Our Lady came down from heaven to Fatima and made this request just for us. Last week on the first Saturday, there were many generous souls here at the chapel making the communion of reparation. But there are many more who could come. Never forget, my dear friends, never forget that Our Lady cries over our sins. Never forget that she desires our salvation more than we do. Never forget that we owe Our Lady our love and gratitude because she suffered her seven swords of sorrow for the salvation of our souls. And so just as we may feel compassion for that poor mother who lost her son in 9/11, and all other mothers who have experienced the death of their child, let us have compassion on the sorrowful mother who for us suffered the loss of her divine son. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.